Blog Talk Radio.
All right, listen up, y'all. I'm y'all's substitute teacher, Mr. Garvey. I taught school for 20 years in the inner city, so don't even think about messing with me. Y'all feel me? Mm-hmm. Okay, let's take a roll here. Jaquellen. Where's Jaquellen at? No Jaquellen here? Yeah.
Do you mean Jacqueline?
Okay, so that's how it's gonna be. Y'all wanna play. Okay, then. I've got my eye on you, Jaquellen. Balake. Where is Balake at? No Balake here today. Yes, sir.
My name is Blake.
Are you out of your goddamn mind?
Blake.
What? Do you want to go to war, Balake?
No.
Because we could go to war.
No.
I'm for real. I'm for real. So you better check yourself. D-Nice. Is there a D-Nice? If one of y'all says some silly ass name, this whole class is going to feel my wrath. Now, D-Nice.
Do you mean Denise?
Oh, no. Bitch!
Silly beloved, we are gathered here today to get through this thing called life. Electric word, life, it means forever, and that's a mighty long time. But I'm here to tell you, there's something else.
Hawk, who goes yonder?
It is I, sire, Richard of Nottingham.
Well, speak up, man. What is it?
News from the east, sire. Rick the Ruler has returned.
It's abracadabra, a la baby professor. All hail funkin' lesson. Sweet tongue, grand writer of scrolls. Now behold, let the legend unfold. Born in a cosmos where no time and space do exist. Vibe in the midst of the chaos. Mortals label me as a lock.
You're traveling to another radio show. A broadcast not only of sight and sound, but of mind. A journey into a wondrous land whose boundaries are that of the imagination. That's the on-air sign up ahead. Your next stop, Afro Nerd Radio, with your guide, Divas, a.k.a. Afro Nerd.
Good evening, folks. We're back once again. This is the Midweek and Review edition of Afro Nerd featuring Captain Kirk, a.k.a. Afro Nerd Radio. Folks, we have a very special show for you. I think all of our shows, truth be told, are special. But this one in particular because we're having a guest, Mr. Phil Branch, and he has a documentary entitled Searching for Shaniqua. Now, for those who are longtime listeners to our show, they know that myself and the captain, we do have somewhat of a bugaboo about certain names that have been deemed to be, ghetto-centric. I want to speak to Mr. Branch. I had to speak to him. He's also a fellow Hamptonian, so we may actually mix it up a little bit. But I wanted to speak to him because I thought that we talk about this so much, and it's something that is so much around us as far as African-American naming choices. So I want to find out what his documentary truly is about, what angle he's taking, and we appreciate his efforts. So welcome Mr. Branch when he does come in. You know what we do. Let's go to a quick urban alternative groove for a few moments, give you a skosh of funk, a skosh of Afro-punk, a skosh of black rock to ease your mind. And when we get back, we'll speak to Mr. Branch and get into it about this searching for Shaniqua. Maybe we can find her. I don't know. Let's get to it. This is Poor Goo. Poor Goo by Prince. And again, let's groove.
Poor Goo. Poor Goo. Poor Goo. Oh,
with you. All the film is shot. Yeah, it's too hot. All this for it. You don't want Captain Crunch when you can have Trix.
Oh no, oh no, oh no.
Once again, folks, that was His Royal Badness, Poor Goo by Prince. Again, folks, welcome to the Midweek Review edition of Afro Nerd Radio. I could not do the show without any kind of efficacy, without any kind of reality, without partnering a white-collar crime. Captain, you're needed in the ready room this time. Let's get to it.
Space, the final frontier. These are the voyages of the starship Enterprise. Its five-year mission, to explore strange new worlds, to seek out new life and new civilizations, to boldly go where no man has gone before.
Okay, let's embark on this mission. It should be rather interesting and entertaining. Let's do it.
Oh, yeah, as always. Always edifying. All right, you know what? I think I see through our studio windows, by the way, Captain, Theater of the Mind. Theater of the Mind. I think I see Mr. Branch approaching our studio doors. I think this is the gentleman coming up. Mr. Branch.
Hey, how you doing?
Pretty good. Welcome to Afro Nerd Radio.
Thanks for having me.
Listen, I had to reach out to you because I have a special bugaboo, truth be told, about certain names.
Okay.
And then when I saw that you are a fellow Hamptonian, I said, okay. We know what I think. I know how he's going to attack this. So, again, to our listening audience, you have Mr. Phil Branch, essayist, journalist, documentarian now, and also I believe you were a professor at HU as well.
I was up until last spring.
Okay, terrific. So you have this documentary called Searching for Shaniqua. Walk us through this thing. What prompted you to delve into this topic?
I think I had a bugaboo with these names as well at some point. Some years ago, you know, when I was living in Los Angeles, I would have friends who were substitute teachers, and they would come home after a day's work, and they would tell these stories about their class roster and some of the names that would be on the roster and how difficult it was to get through the roster, and how sometimes they felt like they were hurting these kids' feelings because they couldn't pronounce their names, and they imagined that that's something that this kid goes through all the time. So I kind of started to think about ways to explore this. And at first, it was not in a serious way. I think initially for me, I think like a lot of people, I found some of the names really funny, but I planned to take a more comical approach to it. But as I started looking at the sort of repercussions of some of the names and also sort of the personal impact of how people are treated, over time, I started to look at it a different way.
Well, you know what? To be fair, let's listen to your trailer. I have a trailer, the audio one. Let's listen to the trailer, and then we'll get back. Folks, this is the Shaniqua documentary trailer. Hold on.
Who sits up there and names the kids Orangelo and Lemongelo, Lemon Jello and Orange Jello?
I used to cover my name when I first started working at Cracker Barrel. And I would say, hey, my name is Ray, or Shaniqua, if you want to call me that. Then you'd be surprised how many times I've had African-American guests treat me terribly because they stereotyped me first. Oh, that's Shaniqua. You know, immediately they thought, Shaniqua, oh, I already know she don't have bad service, she don't have an attitude.
My name is Treniqua, capital T-R-A, capital N-E-Q-U-A. I remember in preschool, I loved food. So it was like lunchtime, so I ran to the front of the line, and they were like, okay, in order to get your lunch, you have to spell your name. And I'm like, and I had to like run to the back because I didn't know how to spell my name yet.
I think choosing your child's name is the first and one of the most important decisions you make as a parent.
Whenever I had kids, I knew that my daughter was going to have a name that was not Shaniqua.
My name is Treniqua, yeah, but it doesn't define who I am.
All right. I tell you this much. When I saw the trailer, I could see that the young lady that was speaking, Shaniqua, that she seemed to be, and you could tell by her voice, that she seemed to be pained about the name. What did you find out when you did this thing? You said that you initially looked at it somewhat comically. Did it turn in a different direction, you know, from a comical thing to this really is a serious thing?
Yeah, by the time I started actually working on the film, it had been some years since I first had the idea of doing the project. And you're right, this young lady, Shaniqua, who I'm talking to, you see in the trailer, is pained by this. And I think I met her, literally, I was at Cracker Barrel eating breakfast, and I looked up, and I see her name tag, and I say, this is going to sound really crazy, but I want to talk to you. After your shift, because, you know, I'm doing this project. And she was totally open to it. And I was blown away by her story. You only see a little bit of it there. But what I got from her was this feeling like, you know, people aren't naming themselves, right? So you have this woman who's intelligent, who's trying to get by, who's working, who's in college doing her thing. And when she approaches someone, her name is not only Shaniqua, and if there's a traditional spelling, it's not S-A-H-N-A-Q-U-A, it's spelled not like that. You see it in the trailer, C-H-I-N-N, you know, I can't remember exactly how, but it's spelled like that. Initially, like right off the bat, when people see her name, when people hear her name, it doesn't matter that she's in college. It doesn't matter that she's doing anything. People automatically place her in a box. And so every time she introduces herself, she has to go through the process of sort of explaining who she is or showing who she is. And that gets to be a bit of a burden. And in her voice the whole time we talked, the pain of that was real, you know. And as we make jokes about names, I don't think we think about the people, you know, she didn't name herself, you know, but she has to live with that.
Captain, I my apologies for not really introducing you to Mr. Branch. Captain, I'm sure you have some questions regarding his documentary. What say you?
Now, this question is really directed not essentially about the documentary, is directed towards you directly, Mr. Phil Branch. Now, your name sounds like somebody who would have a job, right? When you hear Phil Branch, that's just what comes to my mind. Oh, this guy's good. Now, my name, full name being Kirk Goodall, prosaically known as the Captain, Kirk is one that lives in the church. My mother is a highly religious woman. So unbeknownst to myself, I ended up studying a lot of religion. Just, you know, I don't know where that came from, but when I checked it out, I said, okay, the name has something to do with it. Did the name download some memes into me that I didn't even know about? What I want to ask you, pertaining to your name, Mr. Phil Branch,
Does it have any significance? How did you even go about getting your name via your parents?
My father's name is, I'm a junior, so my father's name is Philip or Phil. So why he's named that, I don't know, but that is the significance. I am a junior.
Okay. Just a real simple question. I was just curious. That's all.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'll pass it back
but
to you.
But to can I piggyback on that, though, to as
go
a
ahead.
To assume, is that I asked the people who I've talked to about what does their name mean, right? And why do you know, is there a story from your parents about where you got these names from? And I would say, and I still have a lot of interviewing to do, but of the people I interviewed, a few of them had stories of how it happened, but they didn't really have stories of why, you know? A lot of people that I talked to, there was a sibling who thought a name sounded interesting, so the parents went with it, you know? And or the people who didn't have any clue, they just said they have no idea. And they assume that because their parents were younger, I had two or three people tell me that they think because their parents were young and didn't really have the idea to think about what a certain name, not just the name Shaniqua, but, you know, I've interviewed people with all kind of names. The parents at 16, 17 didn't necessarily think about that. And so there is no meaning. And they've had to kind of find meaning for themselves. And one person told a story, and she's not in the trailer, about how a teacher, when she was like 12, 13 years old, gathered all the young ladies who had different kinds of names and did some work with them and assigned some meaning, you know, to the name using sort of whatever Latin root she could find based off of whatever the spelling was. And she said it was the first time that she felt somewhat confident in her skin. And although it's not a literal meaning, the idea that your name has meaning is really clear. You know, it does, you know, and some people just don't have that. Even if it's just being a junior or something, you know, a lot of these people are wondering, why did I get this name? And then why do I have this name that I don't even like, you know, and no one can explain to me where it came from.
Okay. You bring up something crucial in this discussion, and I guess what becomes problematic for me with these kind of names is that one would believe that these names were put out there to engender some kind of pride, but the fact you tapped into something I never really thought about per se, that these names really they really do not have a meaning, do they? Theoretically, I mean, if you think of a name like Shaquan or like in the video in the trailer, Trikeisha, do any of these names, you know, I'm led to believe all this time I thought that they were supposed to be some kind of misguided connection, dare I say, to Africa. I don't even think that's the case. But let's say there's some kind of misguided connection to Africa. But were you coming across the fact that these names really do not have a story to them or real, true meaning? Is that a theme you were coming across?
That is a theme. But historically, I mean, I'm doing this film where it's really about these people and their experiences, but also I'm doing some research in terms of sort of socially and culturally where these names came from. And you're correct. You know, at some point, if you just think about historically, people at some point broke off and started to break away from names like Phil and James and John and started to, you know, use African names. And you see a surge in names that are people using Muslim names at a certain period, right? And then in, like, the late 70s, 80s, you see sort of these names are still there, but they're not being spelled the same way, right? So you see these names that are real now being spelled phonetically, you know, and not in the way that they're supposed to be. And then those things start to take shape over years, and then you have something that started out with intention that ends up 20, 30 years later doesn't have the same thing, and that just kind of happens with time. So I think, you know, and there are still people who give these names with intention. You know, one of my subjects named her son very specifically. His name is my son, Shara, right? Her name is Shaquinta. And she made it very clear that she wanted her son to have a unique name. And she didn't do it by accident. That name means something to her. It may not mean anything in a book, But my son, Sharah, which is his full name, means something to her.
Wait, you mean the actual phrase, my son, Sharah?
Yes.
Wow. So he's supposed to go and put that on a resume. My son, Sharah.
I mean, he's going to have to, you know? I mean, it's his name, right? And when I talk to her, and you'll see that in the film, you know, she's very specific of why she named him that. She wanted something unique. She felt like her name, even though it was a burden a little bit, that at some point she grew to love it. And she wanted him to be unique. Now, how other people feel about that is a different thing, right? But she didn't just throw some letters in the air and say, this is what I want to name him. She, you know, when we talk about meaning, this meant something to her.
Okay, I see.
Again, folks, this is the Midweek Review edition of Africa Radio. Our call-in number is 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. Wow, you really – that last story. I mean, I have a friend who's also from the honor guard of this program, Mr. Starks, who was the captain's predecessor. And he's an administrator in a school system, Long Island school system, and we speak almost daily on these young folk. I think he's in the middle school age range, and it's mostly a black and brown school.
Mm-hmm.
But the black kids, he said, first of all, the administrators and the teachers have a difficult time pronouncing these names. Some of the parents that come up, they have to give you instructions as to how they're supposed to be referred to, which is a weird thing unto itself. The one I'm always going on about, Captain? Was the young man's name is Life, I think? Was his name Life? Did that ring a bell?
Yes.
Yeah, his name is Life. You know, just Life. And the mother had it explained that's what he wants to be called. That's his name. But then, of course, you have the apostrophes in weird places. And it seems as if it's not coincidental, although it's not coincidental, that some of these children are poorly performing academically or scholastically very poorly, that the brown children Latin children that have names like Johnny Ramirez,
mm-hmm,
or Susie Vasquez are actually doing quite well. But the mm-hmm. ones that have disciplinary problems or underperforming scholastically, they have these wild names. So is any of that being addressed in the documentary? I mean, you know, my issue, I said this off the cuff to my father, who I affectionately refer to as the tangential producer of the show. because we're always going, he's the producer of the show, affectionately. And I said to him one time, I said, I think these names, if you have one of these names, you're not going to live long. I said that just jokingly. And the reason why I said it is because I was going through a newspaper one time, and I started seeing the pattern that either the victims or the perpetrators in crimes, urban crimes, oftentimes had these names.
Right.
Raekwon Jenkins, 19, gets shot in the left buttocks coming out of a convenience store. Lakeisha Johnson, blah, blah, blah. I mean, you started seeing, and I said it as a joke, but to this day, Phil, I still see problems. If you Google these names, you see a rap sheet. So did you come across this? Or was this able to be explored as to – I don't see anything – I mean, well, it seems like the parents have meaning – they have good intentions, but I don't see it – I don't see how it's actually coming out that way. I don't think it's a very good thing.
Well, it's in the it will be in a documentary. It's in my research that I'm doing about it, but I had a talk early in December with a group of people in D.C. about – names. We had a couple of Shaniquas in the room and people with different names and people who didn't have those names, who were educators and worked in different fields, and we had a discussion about these names, and we had a young woman named Shaniqua who is brilliant, has a fantastic job on the Hill, and, you know, she's doing quite well, right? But she's well aware that when she introduces herself as Shaniqua, that people may have a perception of her. She's aware of it, right? So she has to work a little bit harder to make sure that people understand that she's capable and she's able to do these things, you know. So clearly, I grew up with Lakeishas and Shaniquas and all these people, went to Hampton with them, taught at Hampton. There are plenty of these people with these different names at Hampton right now, right, who are going to do okay, right? But when we start looking at how the Raekwons, like you said, are, you see them in the newspapers and all that kind of stuff, that takes it back another level to sort of the issues in terms of socioeconomic status, period. So if you're talking about a parent, not all parents are the same. So you have to imagine that on some level in 2014, a parent, I'm not even going to say the name Shaniqua, because that's a fairly common name, which is why I use that name for the film. But if somebody were to name their kid, you know, something, you know, ridiculous, right, there's a good chance that parent isn't thinking about whether or not they're going to get a job on the Hill, right? That's not even in the thought. So when you're talking about a resume, I'm not saying every parent who does this, but a lot of parents who are making these choices aren't thinking about that. You know what I'm saying? Like, so the root, some of this is literacy, some of it is poverty. So I don't know if these people are thinking past, in some cases, a certain situation, right? There are plenty of people with these names that are not in that position, but when you talk about what you're seeing in newspaper specifically, that's a different thing, right? Because as it came up in our discussion a month ago, that you can't compare apples and oranges. You're comparing parents who are thinking about 40 years from now for their kids to parents who may not be, right? And they may make different decisions when they look at their baby and they decide to give a name. They have different goals. They have different thoughts and ideas. And I'm not, you know, as a filmmaker, as somebody who's documenting, I'm not judging that. But it is, right?
Well, did you come away with any change in your, I mean, well, you said you had admittedly somewhat of a queasiness.
Mm-hmm.
About certain names when you approach the subject,
right.
Has that changed, or what has changed since you've done this, or as you still film the documentary? Anything
that changed
about
me,
the names?
I think what changed for me is not so much the documentary. The documentary is furthering the change for me. I think what changed for me was going back to Hampton and being a professor a few years back, and having these amazing students who have all kinds of names, from Brittany to Shaniqua to Raekwon, Devontae, all of it, right? And I'm looking at them, and I know how smart they are. I know what they're capable of. And as somebody who's been out in the workforce for a number of years, I also became conscious of the fact that somebody might overlook or look over Devontae because they may not recognize that he is as brilliant as he is. So as I began to look at these people who I got close to, and began to mentor, started to think about the impact of the potential impact of their names on their lives, I wanted to really look at these stories and really ask people how they feel about themselves, how they feel about their names, and do they see them as obstacles? Do they like their names? Because I think it's important for people to tell their own stories aside from the economics of it. We often hear these names related to jail, prison, drugs. You know, you can't get a job. But what does it feel to wake up in the morning and be Shaniqua and have to wear your name on an apron and then walk around a restaurant where people are judging you just because you're Shaniqua and they don't know that you're a biology major. And no one asks Shaniqua how she feels, but we all talk about what a Shaniqua is. And I think for me, seeing my students and then now talking to these people, I think what changed is that I actually, you know, on a completely different level, see the humanity in a different way and recognize that, you know, some names, some things are just crazy. I'm not going to sit here in front. I hear names that kind of take me back, right? I'm not going to lie. But I also am conscious enough not to hurt somebody because they have the name, not to belittle or to judge at the same time, right? I have enough awareness of that. But let's be real, like, sometimes you hear something and you wonder, you know, why?
What are the parents thinking?
Right.
We have a caller, and then maybe behind the scenes, we'll discuss more about Hampton behind the scenes because I like to give the air of youth. And I don't want to talk about years. Hold on, Cap. You have a caller, and then we'll get to your question. But I will say this much about Hampton. When I was there, I don't remember too many crazy names. Now, I'll be honest with you, I must have missed it. You know, I can tell you as far as – let's give it a timeline by music. Oh, God. Let's say Rod Kim and – let's say Rod Kim. Well, he was an artist.
Okay.
Even that name. Rod Kim, Big Daddy Kane. That was my era.
Okay.
So I might have just missed it by a year with you or something. Because honestly – I don't remember anything untoward or wacky. I mean, my immediate crew that we hung out with, we had pretty regular, you know, Rodney, I'm thinking about Rodney, Chris, Reed. All the names were pretty normal. Now, again, we might have been a year or two, and the next class came in, the names got a little wet. Matter of fact, you know what? I remember the freshman class that came in might have started up as I was leaving. I might have just missed it. All right, let's go to the caller. Caller, this is Afrin, of course, 404. Tell us who you are, where you're calling from.
This is Michelle Gibson calling from Atlanta, Georgia.
Welcome. Any questions?
I have a question for Mr.
Sure.
Branch and for the panel as a whole. Is a part of your research and documenting these people's stories about the ability to rename themselves? Because you spoke earlier about they didn't choose their names, but, you know, as you get into adulthood, I mean, it's a financial consideration as well as a cultural consideration, but there is an opportunity for adults to change their names. So I didn't know if anybody you've talked to has expressed that or if just having wrestled with the thought of not being a unique or different name and having some, I guess, some sort of mainstream regularity about themselves?
Good question. I have asked everyone, have they considered changing their name, right? And most have at some point, right? And it depends on where they are, I think, in age. So I've talked to a few people who have reached a place of reconciliation where they feel their name is important, that it was important to their parents to give it to them, and that they're just going to ride it out, right, and love it, right? The woman, Treniqua, who you see in the film, who's a fashion person, she doesn't use that name at work. She uses Nene, right? But she said that when she gets older, that she plans on using it. It's almost like I think people want to grow into it. I've talked to some people who said that they've seriously considered changing, but they haven't. So, you know, I think a thing of, do you want to feel the pressure of society to tell you that you aren't good enough as you are? I think your question is valid in terms of if you find yourself not being able to find work. And I've had people send me stories. So ever since I started doing this, people email me. They send me their personal stories. I've gotten a few emails from people who said that they never used their real names on any kind of email, any kind of resume or cover letter. They only use their real name once they get a job and they go to HR to fill out paperwork. So I haven't seen a lot of actual legal changing, but I have seen the sort of hiding that part of their identity until they've been able to show themselves and then revealing it to people.
Wow. Okay, Michelle. Thank you very much for calling in. Continue listening. Nice
thank
name, by
so
the way.
Much.
Nice resume getting name, having name. Okay, thank you. Captain, you had a question.
Okay, Mr. Branch, this might be a little controversial. I'm about to ask right now. Now, being that the out of wedlock birth rate is very high in the black community, do you find that people with these type of names, the Shaniqua, the, you know, Raekwons, do they typically come from a one-parent household or a two-parent household, or does it matter, or this was something you didn't investigate at all? The floor is yours, sir.
I'm not sure that it matters. I am, as I ask people about their naming, they tell me whether or not it was, you know, a dad or a mom, or if their parents were married. Like, I'm getting that information, but in terms of a wholesale statement, in terms of whether they're single parents or not, I think statistically, you know, if I'm talking to people who are of a certain age, that, you know, a good percentage of them are going to be coming from single parent homes anyway, whether they had their name Michelle or something else, right? So I haven't been able to really determine that. I'm not sure if that's the issue as much as depending on what the name is and the age of the person. I think education, class, income, that kind of thing has a greater, but I have not made a connection between whether or not a person comes from a two-parent or one-parent home. But I will tell you this, the woman I mentioned earlier, Shaniqua, who was at my panel, who works on Capitol Hill, came from a two-parent home. She was a twin. And her mother, they weren't the typical things that people associate with certain kind of names. And they just thought the name sounded nice. They had no context for how this name was viewed, right? They just thought the name sounded nice. And, you know, years later, when this young lady is in college and she wins, she was elected office at her university for one of the campus organizations, and it was in the school newspaper, I think it was like the Black Student Union or something, and somebody wrote in the paper, of course, a Shaniqua would be head of the Black Student Union, and she shared that stuff with her parents and talked about how her mom, you know, was really upset and cried and thought about, like, she didn't know, you know. So I think some people, and you know, some people like the name, you know. Mm-hmm. That's the thing, like, you know, Shaniqua, who's in my film, the one that you saw that worked at Cracker Barrel, she goes on to say she thinks her name sounds pretty, right? So I think it's just a matter of taste. I went to school, and they talk about Hampton. You know, I had a couple of friends named Shaniqua at Hampton, both brilliant, both doing very well. And I think, you know, I don't know that they came from broken homes or anything like that. I think the mother, father just liked that name. But what we're seeing now is a generation of people with not Shaniqua, which I think is fairly common at this point, but now you have these names that, where everyone's trying to outdo each other. And, I mean, if you're being honest, there are repercussions. There are repercussions for some of those choices, right, socially, in terms of employment. And, you know, I'm talking to you guys. It's kind of like, you know, it's not about race really, right? You know, I think it's just about whoever is being introduced to those names, black, white, or otherwise. People come to those names with a certain kind of a feeling or opinion. And unfortunately, the person who has that name has to deal with that.
Mr. Branch, I want to take a quick musical break. As you grow to know more about our show, the show is called Afro Nerd. I guess it's all about names. Afro Nerd for a reason. And we're trying to usher in a cultural shift. And I guess probably that's why I'm even discussing this whole name debate with you, because I think there's a deal with awareness that is necessary. I would be comfortable, although I said from the top of the show, I do have an issue with the names, even the resonance of the names. I just have a problem with them. But I want to go to this quick quick groove. I want to get back to you, and I want to ask you more about your film and about the notion of awareness. Do you think we can actually get to a point where at least we can kind of ring the alarm, make it more common knowledge that perhaps, that maybe when we for future parents, that at least they might know that, you know what, these things have a connotation. From what you're telling me, I think the parents really don't think there's a connotation. So if you will, if you could hold on for a few moments, I'm going to do a quick groove.
Okay.
Folks, again, Midweek in Review, speaking with Mr. Phil Branch, giving the best of black rock, urban alternative groove, psychedelic soul. This is Sharon Jones and the Dat Kings. Keep on looking. We'll be right back. And again, let's groove. Okay, we're back. Once again, folks, that was Ms. Sharon Jones, the mighty Ms. Sharon Jones, and the Dat Kings. Keep on looking. And, folks, as I said in the earlier broadcast, I am still working with her publicist, so hopefully, crossing our fingers, we will be able to interview Ms. Jones soon, very soon, a cancer survivor. So the queen of funk may be coming through Afro-Nerd Studios. We're back once again with Mr. Phil Branch. The call-in number, as always, as ever, 646-915-9620. Again, 646-915-9620. Before we took a break, I was kind of just throwing it out there to Mr. Branch about awareness. And I was wondering, I guess maybe his documentary will help in that regard. But do you think we will ever get to the point where we will actually have it where it's a bit more known to folks, these names, there's a price to pay? I think from what you're telling me, it appears that the parents just did not have the knowledge. I mean, you could name your child whatever you want in theory, although I think there's legislatures that are trying hard to make it difficult. I know in some countries, you really can't name your child anything. But I don't know if we're quite there yet. I know someone tried to name their child Adolf Hitler, a white supremacist. Good luck with that. I don't think that actually took place. No. But you do know there are folks that are trying to, you know, that are trying to do this. I think there was a jurist a few months ago that prevented a woman from naming her child Messiah. That made the news a few months ago. So there are people that are, I guess, that are trying to do something about it. But do you think that they will ever get to a point? I don't think this is just known. On our show, we talk about it. And I think it might even be an issue of class also. Does class play a role in this? You know, the more middle-class black folk that I encounter, the less they are, you know, they don't name their children this way.
There's a couple of things going on. One, I think names change. So you see names go in shifts. So people, I mean, this is across the board, black, white, or whatever, but just naming. So, you know, now we're getting babies being named names that we haven't seen in a long time, you know, like old names that you can't imagine maybe a baby being named that.
Right.
But we go in reverse, right? And we see that cycle happen in names here, and I think that happens with African Americans as well. I think you see a return to biblical names. Like, things happen in shifts, right? And I think you're not going to see middle class, and I'm doing air quotes that you can't see, black parents,
right?
You know, naming their kids those names for the most part, right? But in terms of parents who are not, and I'm doing air quotes again, middle class, they have other issues. I mean, whether or not their kid is going to get a job is probably not always the top of, like, there's people are surviving. So I don't know if it's about a message as much as I think it's just an understanding that these names exist, right? I think the awareness has to work two ways, right? I think the awareness is that it would be nice if people understood that as Robin says in the trailer, that naming your child is one of the first important jobs you do as a parent, right? And so I think that awareness is important, but I think it's also important to realize that that if someone wants to name their child Raekwon, that it's okay, right? Now, you don't have to like it, right? But it's okay. And I think that awareness has to happen both ways for any of this to work, because there's never not going to be a Raekwon, right? it's just not going to happen. So I think the awareness has to happen both ways.
Because I guess my issue is, and I say this to be humorous on air, but I have yet to see a, let's say, Raekwon Johnson Esquire or Raekwon Johnson DDS or, you know, some kind of professional with a name. I'm pretty sure there are, but...
Of course. And this is why I'm doing it.
You have seen this?
They exist. They exist. You know, I haven't traveled as much as I would like. We're still raising funds. I'm still, you know, working on grants. But part of the traveling is there are executives and there are lawyers. There are people who have these names, right? And I think the awareness is, I think it's important for somebody who is 13 and named Raekwon. I'm just using it for example because you said it. Now I'm keeping it going. But, like, to see that there's a 39-year-old Raekwon who is an executive, right? I think that's important because I think a lot of times the only Raekwon we see is, like you mentioned, you know, in the paper doing something that isn't good, right? So for me, the awareness is, sure, there are problems that come with these names. Sure, you know, you need to maybe think as a parent, because I'm looking forward to interviewing parents. I have a few people lined up because I want to ask parents, you know, what did you think? What were you thinking? Why was this name important? I think that's where a lot of the answers lie. But I think the awareness is, you know, is all around. It's about seeing all facets of life. And I think people need to see themselves. You know, my mom, she told me that she watched the trailer, and she said, I should know better, but it wasn't until I watched this trailer really that I thought about, you know, people with certain names even being a certain kind of way, being executive, being a doctor. She goes, because, you know, every time you're confronted with these names or you see certain names, people are doing something, are seen in a certain kind of way. And she goes, I know I should have been, not been thinking that, but, you know, just like you said, when it's in the paper, if you're only reading a paper or you're watching the news, that's what you see. So I want to be able to, in this film, counter that. That isn't necessarily why I did the film, but I like the idea of somebody like you sitting down and watching the film and saying, okay, you know, I see the hurt, I see the pain, but I also see these people who are doing it with these names, and these names have not been a barrier for them, right? And I also want parents who are watching and people who are going to be having children to watch and go, do I want my kid to have that kind of pain in her voice when she's just talking about her name, right? So I think there's a lot of conversation in the film that can come up.
Captain, did you have a question? I saw you. I'd like to ask a question. Yeah.
Well, this is just overall view after listening to Mr. Phil Branch. When can we get this potentially life-altering documentary, and how long is it going to be, sir?
Well, I am shooting now. I've done a lot of shooting. I'm still shooting. My goal is to be done shooting late spring, early summer, and go straight into editing. So I would like to be done by the summer. You know, people are ready to talk, so that's not the issue. It's just, you know, I'm a small indie 3-4 man band, and we're making it happen in the best way that we can. But for us, we're shooting in a way that we know we can deliver the product. So you'll be able to see it sometime this year. What I'm working on, because I'm a big believer in, you know, this is online radio and using the internet. So you're going to be seeing some clips. I'm going to be doing some interviews online as well with people just to talk about the subject, different subjects that I'll be posting online. So you'll see this discussion play out, like, on the website and searching for Shaniqua. And then the film, hopefully, if everything goes as planned, by the end of, you know, before the end of the year.
Okay.
Terrific, terrific. We only have a few more minutes remaining, so I don't want to make this seem like a dental visit, but I really just want to tell you I appreciate you coming through. It seemed almost necessary for you to come through because we talk about this all the time. This really is a thing with the captain and myself. I was thinking, even in your film, have you thought about if you know, you might have even gone there already, but have you thought about actually interviewing Africans about this? Because I tell you what, if someone's going to say that, well, this is a cultural thing, and maybe it looks like it is. It's a subcultural phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
And that they're trying to be more Afrocentric. But the reality is that Africans, when I hear their names, I don't have that feeling. There's an actress, I don't know how to pronounce it, but there's an actress that did a phenomenal job with Steve McQueen's latest work,
right.
12 Years
right.
a Slave. I think it
right.
is Ngoko or something like that, N-G-O-K-O, I think her name is.
Okay.
Very beautiful, not hard on the eyes. An mm-hmm. African woman, original tree bark African, and her name doesn't offend me because it seems to be, well, it's an authentic African name. You know, Barack Obama, before there was a Barack Obama Jr., there was a Barack Obama Sr. He was born in 1936. So Barack, I think of any other names. But I mean, actual African names. I would be curious as to what an African thinks about these names,
so
and what about their naming issues. Because I don't think they're having these issues.
Here's my take, and this is going to sound crazy. There are people who there. I am going to talk to African people, and there are some professors who I'm going to talk to about this to kind of get their intellectual spin on the idea of it. But the reality is that they're really. It has nothing to do with Africa at this point, right, for most of these names, right? So, mm-hmm. like, we, you know, and I have to walk a fine line because I, you know, people have to trust me to be able to sit down and have this film and know that I'm not going to be making fun of them, right? So there are some things that I cannot say, but I will say this, that when you have these kids who are naming their combining designers that they like, you know, or their favorite dance or their favorite whatever, perfume, and then calling their baby that, right? You know, that has nothing to do with Africa. I don't care how it sounds, right? So, you know, on some level, it's not even an intellectual debate for a lot of these. It's so disconnected, right, when you have these kids. Like, you know, a friend of mine went to McDonald's not too long ago. She told me this story, and the woman who was working there, her name was G-I-R-L, girl, essentially. So when someone called her that, she corrected them. You know what her name was? Her name was Jarell, right?
What? Wait, Jor-El like an Afro-nerd would ask? Jor-El is in like Cal-El? It's pronounced like Jor-El, like the cat, but it's, oh my God. What a mess.
That has nothing to do with reclaiming identity, Africa, or anything like that. That is something else, and I think that is a discussion that is uniquely American and that needs to be discussed. And I think the film, you know, you probably can't tell it from the trailer, but there is some humor in this. I think, you know, people can laugh at themselves sometimes. They know that sometimes people look at them a certain kind of way, or they have jokes or things like that, you know. And I think when we all got together earlier in D.C. For this event, you know, there was a lot of laughter when people talked about how people misspell their names and what people, you know, people know, like, it's serious. But I think at the same time, there is some awareness that some things are just out of control, you know, and, you know, that it is what it is. And I'm enjoying it because I'm getting people to tell me their stories and be honest. And sometimes we can laugh and sometimes we can't. Sometimes there's real pain and we can't laugh about it. But when I first started, let me just say this quickly, the reason why the film is named Searching for Shaniqua, my original idea was to do a Michael Moore-style documentary back in 2005, 2006, where I was literally going to do this research and find the oldest living Shaniqua, right? So I wanted to talk to somebody who had been a pioneer, who had been the first. And it morphed from that into what I'm doing now, is where I'm talking to people about their names. But I'm still looking for people who are of a certain age who have these names, right? Because I wanted to know what their stories are, being, you know, now if your name is Raekwon and you're in D.C., it's common. But if your name is Raekwon or Shaniqua 30 years ago, 40 years ago, 50 years ago, you know, what was that like for you? Where you may be the only person in your school with that name, you know? And I think those stories are pretty interesting. I've had people tell me that their teachers have just told them, I'm just going to call you this. Just rename them, like straight root style. I'm just going to call you this. And I think those stories are not told, that, you know, you have these people who are basically being renamed at work and in school because people don't want to bother with their name, you know?
Wow.
So I want to hit on all of that.
Well, unfortunately, we're out of time. We're going to have to get you back. Much success. Keep us informed. We can, and when you get you back, when it's toward completion, we'll get into it again. Mr. Branch,
thanks for having me.
Thank you. Good luck. We'll keep in touch.
All right,
Catherine,
sounds good. Take care.
You too. Catherine, we got to make a move. Seconds remaining. Folks, check us out Saturday for the Grindhouse Edition, both double shows. The Comic Shop, Afternoon Radio, will do it again on Saturday, 6 p.m. It's been real as always. This is Tall Black Guy and Durando. I don't have to leave. See you on Saturday.
I love your pain. I want to spend my life. I want to spend my life. Good. To feel good.
Thank you.